Okay, so we're continuing on looking at the first life pattern we've been considering, and that is the intake of God's Word. And we established that this is a foundational life pattern. We're to be a people who know God, and the way we know God is through His work. If we're to hear God speak, then we need to be reading the Word. That is the way we fellowship with God, through His Word. There is no other way. And so the Word is foundational to how we pray, what we do on a Sunday morning, a sermon, a song, a word of testimony, discernment, wisdom, how we live life. The Word of God is utterly foundational to all of that. And so I think we've spent some time showing the importance of the Word of God. And then last week we spent some time reflecting in general terms on the spiritual engagement that's required. That we are tempted to be angry, or we're tempted to lie or deceive. We're also tempted in ways that prevent us from being faithful in the Word. That is, it is a spiritual dynamic. It's a spiritual process, this engagement, this reading of God's Word. The consistency, the fruitfulness of this requires the work of the Spirit, requires us to live by faith. It's not like we read the Bible and then we live by faith. The process of reading the Bible and spending time with the Lord is an exercise of faith in and of itself. And so then towards the end of last week's lesson, we spent some time talking about some ways to think about our responses or our attitudes, where we're tempted to not be faithful, and then the promises of the Lord that we might use to engage our hearts and minds in this spiritual battle of faithfully spending time in God's Word. So, do any of you have any questions from last week, or questions about the that homework from last week? Okay, well, you might have some from this week as well. I just want to reflect again. Our flesh tempts us to think that we don't need to spend time in God's Word, or we can do it later. And I just read a brief list, I think, last week about what God accomplishes through His Word. Let me just read that again, because it bears us being reminded of this. So in answer to the question, what does God accomplish through His Word? These are the things to encourage us, or to prompt us, or to drive us to faithfulness. He teaches us of Himself. He reveals His glory. He reminds us of His faithfulness. He reminds us of the blessings of obedience. He reminds us of the consequence of sin. He reveals or exposes our hearts. He helps us understand others and how to love them well. He instills hope. He encourages us. He imparts grace. That's just a kind of real brief summary. But there's some of the things that God accomplishes through His Word. He's promised to do these things through His Word. And so this is an encouragement for us as we think about opening the Bible to spend time in fellowship with the Lord. We want, maybe the question we ask is, what's the point? Why bother opening the Bible and reading the Bible and talking with God? Why is it so important? And it's helpful to have a list. Maybe you'll have a list in beside your bed, or beside your Bible, or as a bookmark somewhere, a list of these things written out just to remind you and encourage you about what is true and what is necessary and why it is so important to our lives. So that's very, last week was kind of generic. Today we're going to get a little more particular and kind of talk about the nuts and bolts. As I said way back in the beginning, what I want to do is ask some questions and answer them. What are the life patterns of believers? We're answering one of them, intake of the Word of God. We're asking another question, how can we engage in this in a faith-filled way rather than a legalistic way? And how can we do it fruitfully? What are some nuts and bolts, some skills that we can learn to do these things more effectively? And that's what I want to look at today, is some of the nuts and bolts or skills that's going to help us to be faithful and fruitful in this. And last week we were talking about the spiritual battle. When we can talk about spiritual battle in general terms, but when we nail it down and talk about specifics, a time. Lord, here is a good time, and I'm going to commit to spending time on your word for 20 minutes every morning before 8 o'clock. I don't know, whatever you say. When you start nailing it down with that particularity or that specificity, then I think it actually elevates the spiritual battle. There's no fudge room anymore. You've established with some perspective, some wisdom, something you want to do, a pattern that you want to see in your life. So when you nail it down and write it down, it takes all the fudge room out. It exposes maybe inconsistencies or exposes other things that are happening in your life. So it's a reminder that the Christian life is lived in the details. It's the Christian life is the many small decisions and the small acts that we make in life. So the first thing I want to talk about is the when of the intake of God's word. The when. And a little bit of the how long. But before I get there, let me just give you one illustration. If you're not fit and you decide you want to run a marathon, you don't think about the marathon and then just turn up and run it. Now, I've never run a marathon. I don't ever intend to run a marathon. But I knew I'd be foolish to do that, right? The way you get to run a marathon is you have a plan and you start exercising a little. You start running a little and you work up to it. And I think the same thing can be applied to the Christian life. For example, if you're not spending any time regularly in the Word of God, you might be really challenged and go, I'm going to commit to an hour every day. So going from nothing to an hour every day, I think is a big jump. Okay? So you're not doing anything at any time, and now you're committing to an hour 7 days a week. I think that's a big jump. So think about where you're at and stretch yourself. If your time is sporadic and not very much, then seek to be more consistent. Seek an amount of time. Maybe it's 20 minutes or maybe it's half an hour. If you're regularly spending 20 minutes or half an hour, maybe stretch. Maybe go to 40 minutes. Or maybe you're mostly regular, but you want to be more regular. Can I say this? It's kind of like a training program. And Paul alludes to that, right? He talks about physical discipline is helpful, but spiritual discipline leads to the wonderful fruits of godliness. Okay? So he's drawing a parallel there. And I think there is a parallel just in the way we grow and mature and learn things. So think about where you're at and then kind of establish a goal. Don't bite off more than you can chew, right? Don't try to run a marathon when you haven't been running at all. Set some reasonable goals that is going to stretch you a little, but not kill you. Because what will happen if you choose to bite off more than you can chew, I'm going to do an hour, 7 days a week. You might do it for 2 weeks, and then it just die on the vine, and you go back to nothing, right? That's no good. It's better to start off maybe at 20 minutes consistently, and then grow in that, okay? And in that regard, I'd say talk to someone, a peer, your spouse, your parents, and kind of think about your life and try and get their assessment as well about whether they think your choice is reasonable or whether you're lowballing it. Well, I think I'll do 5 minutes twice a week. You know, that's kind of lowballing, right? That's kind of lame. But an hour, 2 hours, 7 days a week is probably too far. Okay, so fine. So just as a thought about getting into the habit of establishing those patterns in your life. The first thing we need to do is find the time. And we might think, how much time do we need? Let me just talk about time for a minute. If you were to read through the Bible nonstop with an energy drink, right, it'd take you, from what I've read, about 72 hours. Okay, so if you read your Bible 5 minutes a day, you'd read through the Bible in less than 3 years. That's not much, is it? 5 minutes a day. If you read your Bible 15 minutes a day, you'll read through the Bible in less than a year. Okay, all I'm talking about now is just reading the Bible. Nothing extra, just reading the words on the page. So that kind of gives you an idea. 15 minutes a day, the Bible in less than a year. And no one's probably going to do this every day, 365 days of the year. Okay? Things happen. So I think that kind of helps. At first, it's like, the Bible, how am I going to get through that? Well, when you kind of break it down into smaller bites, yeah, it's not so difficult, not so bad to think about. So, it's possible to get through reading the Bible. It's not going to take a huge amount of time just merely to read the Bible. So what we want to do is we want to schedule a time, plan a time, which is strategic. So don't leave it till the end of the day when you're about to fall asleep. Or when you're doing three other things at the same time. You want to be able to spend some time with focus, without distraction, in reading the Bible. Now, God doesn't say you have to read the Bible for a certain number of minutes before 9 a.m. or you're sinning. Okay, you can't find that anywhere in Scripture. But what you see in Scripture is that if we're a people who love God, we'll be seeking Him. Think of the psalmists in the morning or in the evening. You know, you see there's a pattern of seeking the Lord, seeking fellowship with the Lord. We see that in the life of our Savior. You know, he would go away. Away from the crowds, even away from his disciples, to spend time in fellowship with the Lord. He was setting aside time. I read this quote some years ago, and I think it hits a nail on the head. Regarding the priority we place on reading the Bible and when we do that. How often do we face problems and temptations and pressures? Every day. Then how often do we need instruction, guidance, and greater encouragement? Every day. To catch all these felt needs up into one even greater issue, how often do we need to see God's face, to hear His voice, to feel His touch, to know His power? The answer to all these questions is the same. Every day. And I would submit, at the beginning of the day, when we wake up in the morning, this illustration is just stands out to me. John Piper, I was listening to a message he was preaching on something like this topic and dealing with temptation. And he said, when I wake up in the morning, I feel like Satan is sitting on my face. What was his point? His point is when you wake up in the morning and you don't think about where your heart's at, it usually heads to fleshliness. Right? So, it makes sense at the beginning of the day that you address your heart. You speak truth. You engage with the Lord and His Word right at the beginning of the day to, as it were, arrest your heart's tendency towards fleshliness, towards foolishness, towards sin. So, there's not a chapter or verse. If you don't go and read the Bible in the morning, you're sinning. But I think it's implied everywhere in Scripture, if you love the Lord and you're thoughtful about your heart, then you'll spend at least some time at the beginning of the day addressing your heart and seeking to fellowship with the Lord and have His Spirit sensitize you to what is true and what is right to prepare you for the many temptations that lie ahead that day. To engage in the day with a heart of dependence upon the Lord instead of that natural self-trust that is typically there as we wake up in the morning. Oh yeah, I'm good for the day. Or maybe it's fear. Maybe you wake up with fear and then you figure out how to control your day instead of going to the Lord. So I think there's a there's a wisdom, there's a an implication from Scripture that we go to God's Word at least for some time right first in the morning. So in your handout here, I have a little chart. On under reflection application number one. this is a tool. This is not the standard of godliness. This, we don't look at this in a legalistic way, but we look at this as a tool. We reflectively and thoughtfully think about our week. You think about your schedule, and you go, okay, Lord, hopefully by this time of the class, you realize there's a priority for the intake of God's Word. If you don't have a priority for the intake of God's Word, there's something wrong with your heart. If you don't care about it, you need to repent of that. And so with a heart of humility, say, Lord, I need to hear you speak. I need the work of your Spirit through your Word, that I might grow in my love for you, that I might be strengthened to fight sin, that I might be established in the faith, that I might be ready to serve you faithfully in the day that you have for me. With that, what kind of priority am I going to have for the Word in my life? Where is it going to work in my schedule? So you think about your day. What's your day like? Maybe each day is different. Pressures are different each day. When are you going to aim to spend time in God's Word? So think about it. Be thoughtful about it. Don't try to run a marathon when you haven't done any running at all. So be thoughtful. If you usually get up at 6:30, don't put 4 a.m. down, right? Maybe you'd put 6 down. Going to get up half an hour earlier, or 6:15, or something. And what's a reasonable length of time? Think about that. Well, you know, 5 minutes is pretty short. 5 minutes reading the Bible is better than nothing. Okay, but what would be a reasonable amount of time to maybe think about? Maybe time how long it takes you to read a chapter. Okay, so you want to spend some time reading the Bible. Then you're going to add some time to reflect on the passage and some prayer, okay? So think about a reasonable amount of time. Now, how do we deal with this? So you write it down before the Lord. And what do we do then with the schedule you've written down? Okay? Here's what we might be tempted to do. Okay, Monday. Check. God should be pleased with me. I've got my Monday reading done. Tuesday. Check. Wednesday, check. Okay, and then you mess up Thursday. Like, oh, I failed. I haven't done the schedule right. I'll get back into it on Monday. Because you give yourself a few days break, right? That's the way we think, right? So you get back into it on Monday. No, that's not the way to do it. What do we do with it? Well, we say, Lord, here's what I'm hoping to do. Because I know there's a priority for your work. I know that if I'm to flourish as a believer, if I'm to grow, if I'm to fight temptation, I need to be in your Word. I want to be in your Word. I love you. I want to hear you speak to me. I want to experience the work of your Spirit in my heart and my life. So the only way that's going to happen is if I discipline myself to spend time in your Word. I need to write something down. And I think this is the best time. And so your alarm goes off and you're like, I don't want to get out of bed. Right? I have a schedule. That's right. I resolve before the Lord to, I don't know, let's say 6:30. I resolve before the Lord to get up at 6:30 and spend some time reading the Bible. I don't want to get out of bed. I'm tired. It was a late night. Okay, spiritual battle is occurring right there. Okay, it's not the schedule that's creating the spiritual battle. It's what's happening in your heart. So you have to engage your heart. Lord, you know what? In my fleshliness, I just don't want to spend time in your Word. I'm a fool. I need to hear you speak to me. Give me strength and hope. I want a fellowship with you. And that's how you fight the spiritual battle to get out of bed, right? And you spend time in God's Word. You're spiritually engaged right from the get-go. And so the time, the schedule, is not so much the standard of godliness, but it's a guide and a reminder for us to awaken us to the spiritual realities that are inside. See, without the time, you don't experience the spiritual battle as intensely, do you? But now that you have a time, you know you're resolved to spend time in God's Word, your temptation to laziness or indifference to God's Word is now exposed more. That's the help of a schedule. The schedule is a guide to help you love the Lord more and to see your heart more. And it just exposes what's happening a little more clearly. So that's the help of a schedule, of setting it down in writing. And you know what? You might get into your week and go, this is too much. I need to change it around. Okay, that's great. See, this is not the standard of godliness. But you use this as a guide to go, how can I prioritize time in God's word? That's the question. What is happening in my heart? And how can I cultivate a heart that delights to fellowship with the Lord, that opens his word with expectation? Okay, any questions about the time commitment, the schedule, writing things down? Any comments on maybe you've done a schedule before and how did that work or how hard is that? Or anyone want to contribute to your, from your life experiences? Okay.
What about instead of selecting a time where you're selecting more of a thoughts be positive and think of positives and negatives of this, but when not every day looks the same, which might be true, establishing a sequence for the time, this, then this, then this, and those things shift and they move around. For much of history, obviously, we wouldn't have known when it was 6:30. You know, there's no
right.
Great
point. I like that. So maybe you're not so much clock oriented, but you're schedule oriented. Okay, if I'm going to do this, then I do this first. This is the first thing I do, or however the priority works out. Yeah. So, you know, again, the point is, how are you prioritizing? And you might do that in different ways. Different personalities, people think differently. But it's not, well, I'm a different personality. I don't need to open the Bible every day. That doesn't float, right? Maybe you prioritize and think about it in different ways. Okay, what are some of the common objections we might have to being this structured? You don't have to say yourself, you can just generalize. Well, some people might think, you know, I'm being too... Yeah, Michael. Okay, yeah, right. Well, that's too legalistic. It's too structured, right? Yeah. It doesn't feel spiritual, right? Yeah.
Sort of like you know, I would never read a Christian prayer or a prayer. It's not organic. It's not a spontaneous.
Right.
Yeah.
Too structured, too formal. Yeah. Any other objections that we might have or you might have heard someone
get? Depressingly concrete reminder.
It's a depressingly concrete reminder of failure. You know what? That might be the biggest objection that we have. It's like, well, no, that's going to expose things a little too much. Like, I just like it general, you know, because you can be general and it feels better, right? A depressingly... Depressingly concrete reminder of failure. Yeah.
That's why people don't do New Year's resolutions, right?
Right, yeah, because you just break them anyway, so why do it? That's pretty good. Anyone else? Dale.
For years I struggled with that. I did, especially those legalistic years. And I set a schedule, and it would work for a couple of days or a week.
Yeah.
Fall by the wayside. But as I did get into the scriptures, I began to see that God really loved me. I knew when I got saved that God loved me. But I never, it didn't really get way down in, you know, in an intimate way.
Uh-huh.
And I began to see that God really loved me and he's interested in me. I'm one of his children. And I realized, as I did read a little bit of scripture, the Spirit of God working, that God wanted intimate fellowship with me. And I began to pray. And I said, God, I don't have that. I do want that heart, though. I want to know you.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to know God. And as I began to pray, God began to work and give me a desire for that. And now I'm talking over a period of time here, but as I grew in that desire, as I prayed about that desire kept coming. And the more it came, the more I wanted it. And it was just like a snowball going down the hill.
Yeah.
Until finally, you know, I can sit and read now for hours. And it's no plan at all. I do it because I know God wants to spend, and I love him. And
yeah.
It's that intimate fellowship, just like you want to spend time with your wife, or your husband, or a parent, or a child. God wants that fellowship with it. And now it just, it's just such good. It's so fun and so good. I don't even need to worry about making a time, because it just, even if something does happen abnormally that I think when I know it, it'll come later, and it just comes. And I don't need to, in a sense, do that anymore. Now, you have to be careful there, because I'm human and I can sin and I could drift away there.
Right.
You know, but that is something that I really wanted to know God. And I think that the scripture talks about if we diligently seek Him, David over and over in the psalm. And as I picked up on that in the psalm and then went with it, God just did it. He changed me completely. Then the desire to do it became greater than the time slots.
Yeah. Thank you, Dahl. I mean, as you're talking, there are lots of things coming to my mind. And let me just respond to a few things. One of the things, I just thought of an illustration. If you haven't been on a diet, we all know enough about diets to know you regulate your intake, you have to figure it out. And when you first start it, it's kind of, you know, very structured. How many calories does this require, and how much can I eat here? And it's, you know, you're calculating and you're working it out. And if you're disciplined over a period of time, you just get used to kind of gauging how much you're eating, what kind of food you're eating, and it comes a little more natural. But you need the structure, a tight structure at the very beginning, to have that pattern of structure in your life. And I think there's a similarity here as well. And thinking about legalism, I mean, if it's a chapter a day keeps the devil away, then it is a checklist. But if it's the priority, the fellowship with God, then it's a reminder, it's a guide to draw us into fellowship with the Lord. And the more we do it, the more we anticipate the benefit, the blessing that comes from it. Yeah. Did you want to say something, Pauline?
Yes. Just with that, too, and I understand where Dale's coming from, but I also realize that we are now retired. We don't get up and go to work in the morning.
Right.
We don't have children in the home who may be having other demands on our time.
Right.
The structure is a little different depending on your season in life. And that has to be taken into the reality of it too.
Single, married,
right.
Children,
right.
No children. Yeah, we're all here, right? There's all different
right.
kinds here. Yeah. Okay, so I think it's just good to kind of raise some of those objections that we might have. Now, there are some extra ways. I'm talking about here focused, undistracted time. But there are other ways we can have the intake of God's Word. Maybe Bible on CD or MP3 as you're driving, as you're doing housework, whatever. I mean, it's not as focused. There are other distractions, but you're still, you're buying up the time to have hear God's Word. You have a small Bible in your pocket or in your handbag or something, and you can just pull it out or your smartphone, right? I mean, that's there it is. So you're buying up the time. You're taking advantage. Maybe you have 3x5 cards and you write some scriptures down. Not so much to memorize, maybe, but just to have that to read and to reflect on. So there are lots of ways that you can be creative to fill your mind with the Word of God throughout the day and throughout the week. So there's a time commitment, but then there's a plan. What's your plan? I mean, is it just, okay, Jeremiah 3 today. Jeremiah 3, I don't like Jeremiah. You know, what's your plan? It might be, I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. Or it might be, I'm going to read through the New Testament. Let me say at this point that you need to think about, is your goal to read lots of the Bible in the morning, or is your goal to fellowship with the Lord? Okay, so I think you have to be careful. I'm all for Bible reading plans where you read a lot of scripture, but there's a difference between opening the Bible and just reading, as it were, surveying scripture. I want to read 5 chapters of the Bible today. That's a slightly different process than I'm just going to read a smaller amount, meditate on the Word, and fellowship with the Lord and pray. I think there's a difference there. So be thoughtful about your plan. And you can get caught up in getting through lots of scripture instead of pausing and reflecting and meditating on God's word each day. So there are lots of different plans you can have. You know, Murray McShane, he's kind of mixing up Old Testament, New Testament, chapter a day, New Testament and Old Testament chapter each. Read one book of the Bible 3 months in a row. I'm doing one, kind of, called Horner's Reading Plan. That's like got 6 or 7 different bookmarks in your Bible that you're kind of reading all over the place. So there are lots of little different kinds of things. There is an app. Do you remember the name of your app? I was going to ask you before.
Nope.
Okay, there's a really cool app. And maybe it's on Android as well, I don't know. But it's a you choose your Bible reading plan. It links to the Bible you have.
Whichever Bible you want to link. So it's like 12
you,
different versions, right?
No, it's a different... Okay, so there's more than one. There's multiple apps. So you can get reading plans on your iPhone, your smartphone, your iPad, whatever. So there are lots of ways, and the reading plan works really cool as an app. You kind of tells you what you're reading, you check it off, and it'll link to your Bible. It's great.
It checks it for you too, so you can see the consistency.
Oh, right, so you can see how you've been doing. Yeah, so there are some practical things that can go along with establishing a plan. But you need a plan. If you don't have a plan, if you fail the plan, you plan to fail, right? So establish a plan. This is the time, and here's the pattern. Here's the plan I'm going to read. One other thing, and Aaron mentioned this, but even if you just write on a piece of paper the date and what you read, that can be a helpful way for you to reflect objectively on your month. Because we always think we've done better than we have, right? So it's kind of an objective assessment. How consistent have I been this month or this last 6 months? Okay, so you have a plan. Well, I want to talk a little more about reading with purpose. And I think I just need to stop. I was thinking I could get through this as well. Maybe I can quickly say a few things. In your handout, there are three sections on pages 6 and 7 here. These are some questions that I think will help you. One of the things we struggle with is I've read the chapter, like, what do I do now? Like, it's an interesting chapter, but my soul's not excited. I don't feel like jumping up and praising the Lord or anything. So the first thing is, up here, thinking about transformation. Why do you read God's Word? For the purpose of transformation. To know God and be known by God. To have our knowledge of God transformed. And so you might ask a question of the passage, how does God reveal himself in this passage? And that's a call to worship. He's faithful. Lord, I praise you for your faithfulness. Transformation, to have our knowledge of our hearts transformed. How is God addressing your heart? What is he saying about your attitudes, your thinking, your behavior? So this is a prompt to repentance, to faith. The purpose of reading the scripture, to be transformed, to have our lives transformed. Where specifically does the Lord call us for change in our behavior? Okay, so he's just a way to think about what you're reading. Three broad categories. Another thing here under understanding what God is saying, a series of questions that you can reflect on. You know, what stood out to you in this passage? What do you learn about the nature of God? What do you learn about people or aspects of creation? What commands to be obeyed? What sin should be avoided? What promises to believe? Now, you're probably not going to answer every one of these things, but these are just questions to prompt you to engage in Scripture, which is engaging with God. What is God saying? And here are some questions that you can use to help draw your heart into the passage and to think about what God is saying. And that naturally will lead to a response, responding to what God is saying in prayer. And this is where there's a fuzzy line between reading, meditating, praying. We're going to talk some more about that in the coming weeks. But that naturally leads into how you reflect on the passage. This is drawing into meditating on the passage. What is it saying? What is God saying? Which leads into responding to him in prayer. So what is meditation? Meditation is thoughtfully reflecting, thoughtfully engaging in the Word of God. Reflecting, focusing on a particular truth and its implications, drawing them out. So next week I'll talk a little more about that, and a little about memorizing and study, and we'll see where it leads from there. Any questions about what we've covered so far? Yes?
I was kind of wondering, and I know you made the parallel earlier about like how Paul compared it to like praying for something.
Yeah.
Praying for physical activity, you do the same thing when you're trying to be close to God. But I was just wondering, like sometimes, I guess something that I do is like I'll read the Bible and then just expect that exact minute, that exact hour, that exact day to be like a better day. To read that, and like if you go to the gym and you try exercising, you don't exactly feel better when you go away from exercising. It takes a little bit of time. And I was just wondering if it's kind of the same way sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you don't really see the effects of that as much until later on.
I think so. I think that's part of it. Yeah, you don't see the long-term benefit. And in ways and implications you don't even perceive. But I will add this, that as you spend time in God's Word, if you come away kind of like, well, I've read the passage and like I kind of feel indifferent, okay, then I think you have to pause and go, why is that? Why am I not engaged in the passage? Why does God feel distant? Why am I not as spiritually engaged? We can talk about that maybe some more next week, but there's some questions to ask because I think that reflects that the time in the Word has not been as fruitful or productive as it could be. So, yes, you don't see all the fruit, but I think, and sometimes we go through spiritually dry periods as well.
That is true.
But generally, okay, I'm generally speaking, when we spend time in God's Word, there is some spiritual dynamic of worship, of thankfulness to the Lord. See, that we feel thankfulness, right? It's not just like, thank you, God, you're great. It's thank you, God, for how your greatness affects me. So there is some kind of, I want to use the word emotional dynamic that is present. Generally speaking, as we go to God, when God confronts us about a sin, it's not like we're emotionally flatlining, oh, I sinned. Yeah, that's kind of bad, isn't it? Right? No, there's some element of conviction, of sorrow over sin. If God reminds us of a truth, we kind of get a little excited, even if it's just a little. I mean, there's some kind of inner dynamic at work. Generally speaking, there should be at least. Yeah. Okay, time is up. Thank you for your attention. It's great to be going through this with you.